Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Man. Shit is crazy, y'all. Huh? I find a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we continue our interview. We're doing part two of our managing partner, Jason Raymond. Take a listen to our interview already in progress.
So business side of the restaurant, right? I love Monopoly. I said I love board games. Right? We're going to go into business together, but I'm saying, hey, man, you're the man, okay? Pick me out a spot on the Monopoly board where you would set up our next restaurant. Where would it be? What set of properties? What color? You going to the purples?
He looks like a green guy to me. He looks like he's in that area of the board.
Yeah.
The green and the...
Is that the Marvin Gardens?
No, what's
the Greens, Pennsylvania.
Like Pennsylvania Ave. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great question, man. I don't know, because I'm torn between taking the railroads and having kind of like...
All around the board, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit
railroads
around town.
Railroads bank consistently.
They do.
I see where you are.
Or are you utilities?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's where I'd like to get to someday.
Right?
Yeah, just collecting taxes. Yeah,
energy, baby.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I think you got to get into politics for that.
Right?
Yeah, that's just not my thing.
Let's go around the board. So the first set, the purples and the black
purple.
Baltics.
And yeah, the Baltic. And yeah,
yeah, the
that's
cheap,
early.
Yeah.
The cheap stuff.
You going there or are you skipping it?
So here's, yeah, that's actually a really good point. I think, you know, we're this far along and we've spent a lot of money on our restaurants. I think that going forward, it would be great just to have people to kind of pay you or have the least amount of initial investment possible opening the next restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to go into debt, and we are debt-free as a company. We paid off our restaurants, and we don't owe anything, which is why we have survived because of that. So having the lowest initial investment possible, I think that's the key.
Gotcha.
So going forward for us anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So we're skipping the boardwalk. Too much high rent, too much risk.
Yeah.
Now that is an impulse buy, I feel like.
Boardwalk and impulse plays are impulse for sure. And that's why he looked like a green, like the green, red area, like
yeah.
Around, just past free parking.
Gotcha.
On that side of that board.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because, you know, and then you're like, okay, well, these restaurants are really taking off and somebody wants to take it nationwide and give you a whole bunch of capital. And then you're like, see dollar signs, you're like, all right. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Boardwalk. You know? I don't know. It's, I do like the smallest initial investment possible.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, I have an Instagram conversation with a follower or her friend, I should say. I think his name's Troy in California. We debate back and forth. And I'd like to know your thoughts on tipping, right? The culture in this country, anyway, is that the guests pay a portion of the check. What is the possibility, or what are the challenges to going away from that and going to a salaried? What are we not seeing from the business end of it?
Yeah, I know exactly what conversation you're talking about because I remember listening to it on the podcast. And I definitely agree with you, Danny, on your philosophy that the salary thing, and you mentioned Danny Meyer, he actually has gone back on that since then.
Okay.
So I think he went back on that maybe 3 or 4 months ago. I know people that have worked for that company personally, and they're obviously great restaurants, and Danny Meyer is an icon in our business. in the front of the house, we don't have a lot of people that we consider like a hero or somebody to look up to. There's all chefs. But he is really that guy. You know, you referenced Setting the Table, which is a great book mm-hmm. by him.
Well, you recommended it to me.
Oh, okay, perfect. Good. Well, I'm glad you read it then. So, but the salary thing, you know, they've been doing that in Europe for years. And I don't think it's first of all, as a business perspective, I don't know how you transition. And Danny Meyer has tried to transition to the salary thing, but it's a shock to the guest. And I also know guests who have went into that restaurant since he did that. You look at you have to up the menu prices 20%. So now it's sticker shock, regardless of whether you're thinking about, okay, I don't have to tip. It's still the sticker shock on the menu. You see it now, you're, instead of paying, you know, 30% or $30 for an entree, you're paying, what is that, 36? So everything just goes up pretty substantially. And then the guy I know that frequents those restaurants a lot that comes in to seed, he still gives a tip because he just feels bad. He's mm-hmm. like, I've been, these guys have been waiting on me for years. And now all of a sudden I'm just not going to give them money when I leave. And I'm going to, you know,
So you're saying societally, it's so ingrained in our culture to be, you know, really prohibitive to try to, you know, push back against that.
Yeah, and it comes down to job performance too, and I really feel like that's I understand both sides of the argument, and I understand why, and I understand that people in the back of the house do not make as much money as people in the front of the house. But there's a reason why they want to be in the back of the house, and then there's a reason why the front of the house people want to be in the front, and there is no easier way. I mean, we deal with the public in the front. Is that harder sometimes? I mean, yeah, absolutely. Getting hammered on the grill when you have 30 tickets, is that harder sometimes? Yeah,
they're absolutely. Each challenging in their its own way. From a person that I've done both, and I know it's been a while since I've done both. It's not like a performance reason. It's just where some people want to take their talents. Absolutely. You know, it's where some people find their comfort zone, because at the time when I was in the kitchen, I wanted nothing to do with people. Right. I kind of still don't. It's amazing to me that I'm in the position that I'm in. But some people would rather just, I have a friend and he says, I don't want any part of any business. I'm a worker. I just want to work.
And that's what I feel like, you know, like with, it's like with sales. My dad is an engineer and been an engineer his whole life, and he ran buildings and stuff. And as he got older, he got into sales. He makes more money in sales than he's ever made in his life. But he was a worker his whole life, and he understood, you know what I mean? So when he got into sales, he understood both ends of the spectrum. So he did very well in sales because of that. Mm-hmm. But like he's saying, like Marlon's saying, you know, he'd rather not deal with the people, but he has an understanding of the people because he's a person. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's where I kind of like, you're going to make more in sales, that you know that in any kind of business. But there's also those people that are your backbone of your business, your restaurant, or any business in the world, that they don't make as much money, but they're happy with their job. And that's kind of how we are. I feel like we're the sales end of our business. So yes, we make more money than the back, but we don't make as much as other people that are higher up in the chain.
I mean, we've touched upon this on different conversations. I find, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, in any restaurant, or let's say a front of house staff or restaurant staff, you cannot function as a restaurant with everyone being a chief. It will not work. It cannot work. Chiefs don't work well with other chiefs. There may be a couple other chiefs, but then you need the Indians too. You know, you need the there's going to be I don't want to call it nebulous, but there is going to be a combination of not only personalities, abilities, and desires. Like the people that we used to say when people would, when we work together, and let's say we get slammed, right? There are people that, oh my God, I can't believe you double sat me, you know? And then we're like, oh man.
I'll take it.
Bring it on.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you know that there's just a couple of critical steps that you need to do in the beginning, and you get, you know, some help to make sure that, especially in the front end, that A, they're greeted in a super reasonable amount of time, and they have something in front of them, and someone else can, you know, get you those things while you're
water, anything small, just so they feel like they've been noticed, you know, most of the time. And then you have the ability to come and drop your spiel across the board, and you do it, you do it, you know, rhythmically almost. You're You saw that that table got some water, so you're already talking to this table. You're kind of moving across, and you follow your section accordingly.
Yeah. It's the difference between doing a 100-piece puzzle and a 500-piece puzzle.
Absolutely.
It's still the same,
it's still the same
mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like to do the edges, do the edges. But it's just maybe a little bit more edges, but you find some people to do the edges with
Absolutely,
you, and
then
you fill in the rest of the picture.
Exactly.
And you're okay. But some people, when you turn that box over, they go, oh my God, you know,
they go into television.
It's busy.
When it's it shouldn't be that way, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and you just need a couple people to help you turn mm-hmm. face the puzzle pieces up and then walk away and you're good to go.
Well, that's when that teamwork aspect really comes into play. You know, are you a rest? Because you all know those restaurants out there too, where you walk in and there's that one server that just banks and doesn't care about anybody else in that restaurant. You know, I'm like, I'm not saying you're working them, but I'm saying we all know those places.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I've been in those places mm-hmm. where you got that one, you know, girl or guy that banks and.
I call them, they're all offense. And I tell Marlon that all the time. I said, you know, the people that can come in, they make their money and then they don't want to do any side. You know what I mean? I said, they can play offense.
Exactly.
They don't do any defense. I go, this is a game. You know, you got to be able to be on both sides of the coin.
Right.
I think those types of people are enabled by the restaurant itself.
True.
You absolutely.
Know, they allow them to exist and thrive. Where, you know, they need reining in just as much as other people need building up.
Right. And, so. And that creates drama. And, you know, one of the main things in what we do in our business is, you know, we talked about the performance and how important that is. I mean, you are on a scale. The scale for me is drama versus performance. Mm-hmm. And they are equal to me. Mm-hmm. If you're a drama, if you start hiking up the drama side, that is now you're on the radar. And that is not a good place to be in a restaurant. I mean, so your performance starts not mattering as much if you're adding the drama to the restaurant.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's just super simple. So if you're the person that's doing that and not doing their side work at the end of the night, yeah, I mean, I'll hear about it from four people the next day. And then it's my job at that point to hold them accountable immediately.
Okay.
So we don't let that go, you know, so it generally doesn't happen. I mean, our side work, again, to set up the restaurant takes 20 minutes from everybody.
And I'm more talking, I'm not talking about opening club. I'm talking like, you know, that running side work, which keeps you flowing throughout. And
right.
there's players that, you know, like, they'll do their job. I'm not
okay.
talking about
okay.
leaving.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like, I'm talking about like, you know, like when at our old restaurant, with your old restaurant, when you have a running side work, it needs to be done by those people. So if two people are doing the same side work and I'm doing it all by myself, I'm doing your job while you're making money. That's not
sure,
fair.
You know,
I need
saying.
You to be on the same page as me while we're and we can make money together.
Right. Yeah. They take that last ice cube out of the bin.
Yeah. and their job's to fill
right
ice
in the
and
glass.
Like,
see you later. Yeah. And then they come back and the magic ice fairy came
yeah.
and filled it back up again.
Me.
Like, oh, right. Exactly. Their name is Danny.
Exactly. I see what you're saying. Well, that is a situation where you need. To me, anyway, I could be wrong, but I take it as my responsibility to get on people.
Oh, no, and they know? Should be, and there should be accountability.
If you need help, that's fine, but if you're always the person, I get in your face and I say, what's your side work?
Yeah.
And if you say, I say exactly.
Exactly.
And if you know what your side work is and you're not doing it, it's just as bad, and I call you out on it. And when you say, well, I have tables, and I say, we all have tables.
Yes, and I've had that conversation over the years with multiple
yeah,
people.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And you do have to call them out, and there's nothing wrong with it. And like you said, the accountability.
It's a little confrontational, but it's about awareness. If they know that they're seen,
yeah.
that's all that mission accomplished.
And I was going to ask you, it was funny, because when we were talking about teamwork, I wanted to ask you, like, what kind of team are we talking about? Are we talking, like, straight, like, us doing, me doing all the side work and you still getting your praise? Or do you give, like the teamwork where it's, you have to be a part of that whole core as... You are accountable for what you're accountable for, and everything, and the system works as a whole. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, if I'm on the offensive line, I'm blocking. That's my job. The quarterback's job is to get that ball to that receiver. You know, like, so as long as you know what your position is it, that's what I was going to ask you when you first talked about it. I was like,
I think what you're trying to say is
yes, get out
two
my mouth.
Philosophies, the two philosophies of, there's some restaurants that teamwork is everybody do everything, and there are other philosophies of, each individual knowing what their purpose and job is and doing that. So,
yeah, I mean, so that's that is a tough balance. But I feel like it's our responsibility to be the architect of the restaurant, knowing mm-hmm. exactly who's working those shifts and how to, whether it's what sections they're in, where they're at. You know, I know I know people's strengths. I know if they're closer to the bar, then they're going to be able to handle more tables. I know that if, I mean, we have this one guy that's been with us since the beginning. He is always kind of by the expo line, and the guy runs food like crazy, which is obviously not something that people really like to do. Mm-hmm. But you don't have an option. So, but yeah, as far as everybody working together, I feel like everybody should do everything.
And the ability to know how to do everything, I agree with 150%. Okay. I was just more asking, like, is there accountability? Like you said, like, your guy that runs food, he does it because that's what he's good at. You know what I mean? And the people that by the bar, that makes sense. See, so you follow on their strengths and their weaknesses, and you make sure your place runs accordingly to that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, so if there's, if somebody takes the last of the Iceman and they see me coming toward them, they will look up in the corner of their eye and see me coming and then just gracefully go get the ice bucket and pour it in. So, because they know 100% that I'm going to walk by and call that person out on it. So, you know, and unfortunately, line level employees will sometimes try to get away with things. It doesn't matter what kind of a restaurant you're in. It doesn't matter if you're in someplace like the Four Seasons, or there's always those people,
always.
And they don't, you know, and a lot of people, like, we have core values in our company, and we have, one of them is called stay hungry, you know, which is like, it's self-motivated and diligent. So, like, and what are you doing to, I don't feel like staying hungry means that you need to be a manager or want to be a manager in our company. It means that you come in every day and you have to kill it when you're there every day and stay focused. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's what hungry is. So yeah, my job is to keep you on that focus line.
Yeah.
So, and really in the end, you think about a server, you know, like, in most places from 5 to 6, you're doing nothing. I mean, you come in at 3:30, do side work, whatever, you line up. But how many of those hours are you busy and really have to focus? Exactly. It really comes down to like 2 or 3 hours. So my expectations of you to be able to do that for 2 or 3 hours is really high, because you're making a ridiculous amount of money, you know, $250-$300 in a 3-hour shift, basically, where you have to focus. That's a lot of dough. Most of our servers make anywhere between $35 and $40 an hour. So, you know, and that brings me to another thing, which I don't know if you're going to talk about, but, you know, when you talk about tips and salaries and that, that's one thing. On the other spectrum is the minimum wage that people talk about in places like New York City, where they have to pay their servers, I think it's $15 an hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah, even in Buffalo, I think it's 11, or it was 12, and they moved it back to 11 because so many businesses were closing. But, you know, I think about our restaurant, you know, we pay $2.13 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and the argument is, you know, they don't make a livable wage. Well, I'm like, well, they average $35 to $40 an hour. So they do. But so you think about that in the restaurant, and if that comes to Atlanta, where even where we would have to pay out like $7.25 an hour for a minimum for a server, for every dollar more that we pay, that's $2,000 more for every employee. That is catastrophic to our business. Like, we could never do that.
Yeah.
So we can't move to $10 or $15 an hour. I just, you know, I mean, the guys in the back of the house generally all make that anyway. So that's, I'm not worried about that. But if you're telling me that a server has to make that much per hour, I'm like, that's just not, I mean, then we would be forced to take away things like tipping, call it a service charge, and then spread it amongst everybody. Yeah. And then everybody makes less money.
Yeah. Because
can't pay it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm like, we're a small business. You know, we're very fortunate that we make generally a higher percentage than most places, but that took years of work to get those costs in line and to do all those things right.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, when things like Obamacare came into play for us, I mean, that took a huge hit off our bottom line. We like the idea of everybody having health insurance, and, like, even if it went away completely, we would never yank that out from under everybody, because that's not the kind of place that we are.
Yeah.
But as a small business, there's always things that are tearing you down, you know, like the amount of taxes you pay. And it just, you know, there's this right now during the pandemic, one of our biggest statements is, and things that we say is, it costs a lot more money to make less money. You know, yeah. Like, because it does. I mean, we've been paying a fortune and all this stuff that we have to do. And, you know, but we see the value in it. But, you know, we're spending $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on these plexiglass barriers that we have, which are working and they're awesome. But you know, when this thing is all over, which who knows when that's going to be, what are we going to do with these things? Are we going to go straight office space on them in the back? Or, I mean, like, what are we going to do with them?
So wrap them up till the next pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I got to store it. Now I got to
do exactly. God, I hope not. Yeah, storage places are going to boom.
Yeah, they already are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are going to be the new Windows.
Yeah, exactly.
So what other, I mean, we didn't really touch upon some COVID things. What have the COVID restrictions forced you to adapt to besides the plexiglass stuff?
Yeah, the masks and gloves. I mean, besides the obvious things like that, just social. I heard you guys talking about it the other day on your podcast, and just kind of like the confusion of what it is to have the capacity rules. And I think in Florida, it's actually a like a municipality, county to county thing. Mm-hmm. So like, because we went to Rosemary Beach a few weeks ago to go on vacation, and the day before we got there, they lifted all restrictions. So, and when we got there,
that must have been weird.
It was crazy. I mean, so we were at this hotel. We got there about 3 o'clock, walked across the street to this restaurant we know, which is really small. We walk in and there's no employees are wearing masks or gloves. There's no distancing. All the tables and chairs are back. I order a Corona. The guy with no glove on cuts the lime, puts it on top of my drink, and that was. And I'm like, okay. So the first thing I did was I took my finger and I flicked the lime off. You know, and in the end, like, yeah, even myself, I feel like, is that too much? Like, should I be flicking it off or care that much? In the end, I don't want this thing. I don't care if I get to have symptoms or not. I just don't want to get it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's too much too soon.
Exactly. So it was very shocking when I walked in there. So we got the drink and we walked out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me being elbow to elbow with the person next to me, like, I'm just not ready for that yet. So, but I know down here it's not quite the same capacity rules. And that the confusion between what capacity rules means and how many people you can have in your restaurant. So they in Georgia, they lifted all capacity restrictions. Mm-hmm. However, you still have to be 6 feet apart. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so for us, that literally gave us no more tables whatsoever.
That's exactly what happened here. We were allowed to have up to 50 to 100%, but you still have the social distance. So you can have a full capacity, like you're saying, but if you don't have the social distance, then you can't have full capacity.
Exactly, yeah. So it doesn't make sense. So they make these laws, you know, I mean, Georgia will never shut down because Kemp will never shut the state down again, which is great for us. And I do feel like if you're an adult, I understand both sides, but I understand if you're an adult, you should be able to make a decision Absolutely. To go out or not. And as a small business, like we can't, even being in no debt, if we shut down again, we will not make it. Mm-hmm. You know, we lost $1 million per restaurant so far this year. Like, we're not going to get that money back.
That's real money, too.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that's $1 million out of $5 million gone that we usually, you know, pull in for a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the capacity restrictions. So, yeah, we have the advantage that we have a patio, and it hasn't been raining like it is here, which is crazy, by the way, the amount of rain that comes down here now.
Oh, good God. It's crazy.
But so we were allowed by our the plaza that we're in to put tables outside the restaurant. So we're probably at somewhere between 70 and 75% of our capacity that we had pre-COVID now. Mm. So that helps. But the patio is a whole nother situation because now we have 90% of our reservations asking for the patio. And just try to explain to somebody how the reservation system works and why they go out there and they can't, you know, they made a reservation same day, but they can't get on the patio. And the, you know, why they're all empty tables at 6 o'clock, but they can't sit in one of them because we have reservations. Mm-hmm. Try explaining that to somebody that has no idea about the restaurant business, and you will see the glaze go over their eyes. They get really upset, and then they walk out, which we're not used to in our restaurant. All we want to do, our existence is to make people happy.
Yeah.
That's all we want to do. You know, I'm not holding a table back because I just feel like it. You know what? I don't really want your money today. You know? No, we're good. I think we're good. We're
I just stopped doing this all of a sudden.
Yeah, we want to keep that table.
Yeah, we made enough money today. Just go home. Yeah, I'm like,
lunch,
you know,
was kind of busy. We're good.
We're done.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
I'm gonna keep those tables the way they are.
Go play golf.
I take that favorite server mentality, the one that walks in the door and is like, God, I just can't pay rent this month and I have no money for groceries. And then I go, I'm going to cut somebody. And the same server goes, oh, okay, I'll go. I love that server.
That's what we do.
Are you saying we as in you guys?
Actually, I stay.
No, I stay.
Right.
But I know you all guys those people too. That do that because
Exactly.
I say we because we as servers are barely ever happy. You know, it's either dead or too busy in the same breath, you know?
There's no middle ground for half of them. There's so many of us, yeah.
We're a nation of complainers.
Just go to Buffalo, New York at any time of the year and you'll hear that about the weather. You know? It freeze for 6 months and then it's 80 degrees and people are like, it's too hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got 3 days of this left, so better enjoy it.
Go put your jacket back on. Yeah. You can put it back on early.
Exactly.
If you wrote a book titled Things I Did Not Expect When I started partnering in a restaurant, what would the first chapter be?
Holy cow, that is a great question. Again, my mind just exploded and head blew off my shoulder. holy cow. That would have been a great question to ponder ahead of time there, Marlon.
I usually don't prepare my guests. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, things I did not expect.
What's a surprise for you? Looking back, you know, you may have gone into it thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to conquer the world, or maybe, you know, this or this. And then now, basically, what advice would you give to somebody that's going to, you know, have that restaurant dream of saying, hey, I want to open up a place on Baltic Avenue?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to say what I said earlier, but I think it's important that there is no glory in this business. If you got in this business to be in the spotlight of some kind and think that, you know, you're just going to be up on some pedestal, it's just not the case. There is no ivory tower. I mean, I'm still bussing tables in the restaurant every day. Mm-hmm. I still have masks and gloves on running food at tables. You're not above anything. So this is an important point too, of something I used to think, you know, maybe like 15 years ago, I thought to myself, I can't wait to not have to go to a table and ask them how their food is anymore. And then I really grew up quickly in thinking that that is all that matters.
Yeah.
Is how, what they think about their experience and their food. So of course I want to be the one that's asking them that because I want to know.
Yeah.
So that was such a very naive and somebody that really wasn't like a partner in a restaurant. That was something to think. But as you take over that role, you can talk to people all you want about, you know, think like an owner, you know, but unless you're really in that position, it's really hard to do that. So growing up in this business, I mean, I realized that when we first started, I was probably kind of harsh on people, kind of acting as the bodyguard of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like maybe like liquor reps or whatever, we were expecting a lot out of people and I wouldn't take no for an answer. So since then, I've kind of done almost like a mini apology tour to those people because I felt bad for, you know, and I've explained the reason why, but that's no excuse. I was just trying to protect the restaurant and the investment and we couldn't fail. And I felt like people that got in that way of that I needed to like push through and just be the strong arm guy for a while. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the staff. I mean, we were pretty hardcore, you know, if you weren't doing what we said to do, then you weren't going to be a part of our company for very long. But so it's, for me, you know, be nice comes into it. I think that would be chapter two. There is no glory in this business and be nice.
Be nice. Okay. You know? That's actually a slogan of a restaurant down here.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Or a restaurant group down here.
Yeah. And I find myself saying that actually, it's amazing what you can say to guests now. I'm not a kiss ass by nature. I don't know how to fake smile at somebody. It's just never been something that I'm good at or I want to do because it's like soul sucking for me.
No, it's so.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't. And then walk away. Like the girl from Waiting that walks in the back, you know, and comes out with the smile.
With the
face.
Smile, yeah. Yeah. What's your, yeah. I don't have that. I everything's on my face. I don't have that gift either. Yeah.
No. But and now with having a mask on, it's like even worse because my eyes don't change either. My forehead never wrinkles, so I have zero expression. You know, being level-headed in this business, that's another chapter. There you go. Be level-headed. Mm. I think it's really important too because, you know, you don't want to get excited in either direction necessarily. Because you don't want to send a shockwave when things are going bad through the dining room. If you're panicking, the servers are panicking, the guests see it, and then the guests start panicking and wondering what the hell is going on. Mm. But I completely, I think at this point, lost my first point because I just went on a tangent and now I'm lost.
It's all good. No. So bring him back.
Oh. Yeah.
It's your fault, Marlon.
Yeah, it usually is. It's okay, though.
What was I saying?
How's your crab cake?
Well, it's not Maryland. It says Maryland style, which I know you guys would never recommend to order. Are you guys from Maryland? Oh, okay. No. Yeah. Don't order it, though.
Don't even try it.
You guys are going to think it sucks.
I had that on Saturday, and I thought of you, and I was like, I can't do that. But yeah. I did direct her. She appreciated it, though. I answered it my way.
Nice. We do have a great crab cake, by the way, but we do it as a special once in a while.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you don't have a crab cake all the time?
No.
Okay.
No.
Usually specials are good.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah, you got to jump on it once in a while. Mm-hmm. So animals in restaurants.
I'm a no-go on the animals in restaurants. However... Yeah.
My kind of guy. See, that's my guy right there.
Yeah, I mean, but we've had a couple instances in the past couple months, especially where let me preface this by saying that I think when we first reopened in most restaurants, people came in to support you and they were very like forgiving and very happy to be there. And thank you guys so much. I'm not saying all of them, but some of those guests are over that shit. They are not, they are back to the guests, you know, and like the expectations are high. So I feel like they feel like they can get away with more now. So we have guests that like in our restaurant, and again, our restaurant is not like this. Like you just don't walk in with a dog, you know, and expect without who to, in my mind, I'm like, if I had a dog bringing it into the restaurant, I would call ahead because that's like a special thing happening. Like, hey, do you guys accept dogs in the restaurant or on the patio or whatever it is. So, and no, we don't. I mean, well, we had a lady walk in and just open her purse and then here comes the dog pop out and start barking, you know? And so like I went up to that table and just said, you know, we can't have dogs in the restaurant. And then she snapped back with, well, you should be lucky that we're here because we're supporting you now. And I'm like, okay, but that's not the point. I'm like, you just can't have a dog in the restaurant. It's not sanitary. And then here comes the I have a what is that called, the
service animal
thing. Okay, so first
unless
of all,
unless you're blind, okay, it's right. Not a real, yeah,
but you can't
been
question
doing this for years.
Right, absolutely. The problem is you can't legally question it. So, and I don't know how it is here, but that's how it is. It's in Georgia.
Same. It's the same.
Yeah, if it's a true service dog, then that's the first thing that you would give me. You would pull it out. Then she was looking through her phone and scrolling up and looking for this thing. I'm just like, it's not a service dog. And I know this. So
it's something you got online, honey. You printed it out. You left it on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I did tell them that they did. Like, you just can't have a dog inside the restaurant. So regardless of what she said, and I know it's not technically legal or whatever for me to do that. But she wasn't telling the truth and she wasn't going to pull it out. We have a legitimate woman that comes in that is a quadriplegic that does have a service dog that comes in with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, and she comes in, you know, every week. Mm-hmm. So sometimes 2 days a week. So I understand that. And the dog is a service dog. The dog doesn't bark. Service dogs are trained to be great in the restaurant. She literally lays behind the wheelchair and stays there and does not move. And nobody's questioning.
There's no question.
There's no question. Yeah. So... You know, and dogs on the patio, same thing. They're like, oh, it's on a patio. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't want an animal, like going to the bathroom on the patio by accident. You know, it's just not. And I do tell people that we had an incident where a dog was like, what, bit another guest, you know. I still let them know. So that kind of like silences them immediately. That's the reason why we don't have them.
We're coming to your restaurant. What are the three courses that that I would have to have?
Oh, so if you came in for, oh God, that's such a loaded question. I don't know if you guys feel this way too, but I feel like our servers and bartenders and people that work in a restaurant, what they want to happen, if you're a first-time guest, and we have a list of things that I would tell people definitely have, which I'll go over, but we want the guest to hand the menu back and be like, you pick it, you bring it, you bring out whatever you think is best for our first time.
I like, see, yeah, that's quality. And then they give you that freedom, that reign to kind of, I mean, you got to check with allergies and stuff like that. But yes, right. I've definitely had people and then they thank you at the end. And that was a great experience. Actually, right. I go see a friend who's a bartender. Mm-hmm. He's actually been on the show. Mm-hmm. And every time I go into his place, I have never ordered a drink. He just looked, he goes, what are you arguing? I said, you decide what I want.
Right. If you want that experience, yes. I usually will pick out an appetizer. And if I'm unfamiliar with the restaurant, I will do that. Sometimes I'll say, okay, no mushrooms. I'm in the mood for seafood. I'll take what you recommend. And
And that's awesome because we know the restaurant better than you do. So, yeah. And I feel like, you know, and it's not just what's popular, it's what we know is good. And we're, you know, I'm lucky to have a restaurant and Chef Doug, and like he's one of the most talented chefs I've ever worked for. And all the food is good. It's really one of those places where whatever you want to eat, that is, if it's going to be chicken or fish or whatever, it's going to be amazing. But if you walk in a restaurant for the first time, the shrimp sambal is a dish that you definitely have to have.
Sounds spicy.
It's a little spicy. Yeah. So I explain to people, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, for me, it's like a 5.
Okay.
But it comes with pickled cucumbers, which cools it off a little bit. So it's a sauce called sambal olek, which is like an Indonesian chili sauce. So it does have a little heat to it for sure. But I eat sriracha and Frank's hot sauce by the pound. So that does not scare me. Our pimento cheese crostinis.
And is the shrimp, is it like a cocktail or is it?
Oh, no, we flash fry it.
I thought it was like fried.
Flash fried in rice flour. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, man, you guys got to come to the restaurants.
Yeah, for sure.
And then nuts. What about our entree?
So that's an easy one for me because I order it every time I go in there also. It's our chicken schnitzel. So it's a piece of chicken that's we pound it out and then we bread it in panko breadcrumbs. You put on the plate in this like huge pool of miso mustard, which is like a sauce that you could literally put on your laptop and take a bite out of it. Like, wow, this is amazing. Then we top it with arugula and some oven dried tomatoes. And then we toss the arugula in a white balsamic. So it's a dish where it's got everything you want. So it's got, as you cut through it and cut down, it's got the savory portion. It cuts through the acid from the white balsamic, cuts through the chicken, and then goes to the miso mustard. Alton Brown, which he used to come in all the time because he lived in the area, the Food Network chef. Yeah. So he orders that every time he comes in. And he actually took his own cookbook off the shelf and then signed it and said the chicken schnitzel rocks.
That's awesome.
And then every time he came in, I mean, he's one of those guys where you don't know how to react when he comes in but he's in the industry. He's the guy that jumps out of the way when you're going to the bathroom and you're passing him in the hallway. He thanks all the chefs before he leaves.
That's cool.
So he gets a lot of respect from us and people in this industry, but that's what he always orders.
I have a theory that panko is made by aliens. It's like, all how right. does it stay crispy? It's like breadcrumbs that just never get crispy. I mean, never get soggy. Aliens.
It's gotta be. That's the only explanation, you weirdo.
The unexplained, it's aliens.
Yeah, they're making money with that panko, right. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's the first chapter of the book that I would say Marlon's things I would never hear come out of his mouth. Yeah.
And for dessert?
So we won a lot of awards for this one. It's actually a Chef Doug dessert, which he is not a pastry chef, and he'll be the first person to tell you.
Okay.
But it's our chocolate peanut butter covered parfait. Yeah. Okay. Well, we also have a tres leches, which is pretty.
No, that's fine.
That's what I order when I go in.
The tres leches?
Yeah. And
okay, so we'll talk about the chocolate.
Okay. So it's chocolate peanut butter parfait. It's got like this chocolate ganache shell on it. And then we use a caramelized banana ice cream with a peanut brittle.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's like, it looks small, but it's super rich. It reminds me of like a really good Snickers ice cream.
Oh, that sounds
bar.
Fantastic.
Remember those things?
Right?
Yeah, you love that. So. But the tres leches is my personal favorite. We give that out if you come in for an anniversary or a birthday. That's what you get. We send it out to the table for you. But tres leches also falls under the category of the guests sometimes not knowing how to say it. and making it even fancier than it is. We have this one guest that comes in and calls it the Trey Lachey.
Oh, I love it. I love think that, it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's
so
what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Trey Lachey.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. I'm like, okay. Well, so that's what we say. Like, here's your Trey Lachey.
Yeah,
it's
I like
better that.
That
way.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds very
sexy.
It does.
Lachey.
I can see a hot girl with, you know, kind of just letting it flow.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and French say. French accent. Yeah, I was going to bring up one more thing that I disagree with you guys on.
Get yeah. it out, man. Get
all
it
right.
out.
All right. So, yeah, I have a little bit of a disagreement on you guys because I've heard you talk about it on multiple episodes, but it's your philosophy, I think more yours specifically mm-hmm. than Danny's, but your philosophy on people visiting for their birthdays.
Okay.
So I know that you are not a fan.
No. Okay, so let's parse this out now. I believe restaurants are an occasion.
Are essential, yes.
For an occasion birthday. Thing. So I have nothing against visiting on your birthday. So what are we disagreeing on?
Well, I've heard you say multiple times, I think the quote is, congratulations, it's your birthday.
Oh, congratulations, you were born.
Yeah, you were born. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Congratulations, you were born.
Okay, so here's my thing, right? I'm a bit of a cynic, and I know that I don't really have the whole thing about, like, say Christmas, right? Sometimes people like, oh my God, what do you want for Christmas? Like, I'm a grown ass man. I can get myself anything. Christmas stuff for kids and things like that. So birthdays, it's almost the same thing for me. When you make such a big deal about a birthday in a restaurant, okay? You come in, he's like, oh, it's her birthday. And I look over and this lady's like friggin' 69 years old. Not 69. We celebrate that. But she's 45 years old, right? And it's not even a surprise at that point because you could tell me at the beginning or at the front desk or, you know, you put in the notes, we know it's your birthday and we're gonna act accordingly when we get that chit that prints out from the thing and says, okay, birthday, got it.
Right.
But the person has ears. She's sitting right next to you. She knows, you know, she's had 1,000 birthdays. So it's not a surprise, but you're in the restaurant around your birthday with your friends. So I find it, I take the cynical approach to that celebration.
Okay, gotcha. I guess from my perspective, I see it from the lens of where I think about when you have a birthday and or an anniversary or a special occasion or you get a job, whatever it is, like you, mm-hmm. where do you go when you have those occasions? And usually it's your favorite restaurant. So when you come in for that occasion, I'm like, you know, you decided to visit us because we're your favorite. So I always thought that it just made us feel really special. Obviously, you don't want to be only a special occasion restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we're not that. I mean, we do a lot of special occasions. And it's not just for the free Trey Lachey, you know, a.k.a. Trace Leches. But yeah, so and I think about that myself. I'm like, when it's my birthday and I go out to eat, I go mm-hmm. out to my favorite place.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, so it just, you know, it makes me feel special. So I guess when you said congratulations, you were born, I just saw the
cynic. It gave you a little
yeah, the radar went off in my head and was like started beeping and then, you know, my head was
I think we probably both agree on it's just the whole gathering, like the whole singing gathering kind of thing. The embarrassment part, not like I don't know if it's called embarrassment, but you know, like that big to do. I love when people come for their birthday. I think it's a great time to give them that amazing experience. You know what I mean? But I think what me and him agree on mostly is like, you know, the whole gathering, like, you know, oh, we got to get a bunch of people to sing and this and that.
Yeah, let's have some strangers sing. I think birthdays are special.
No singing.
Yeah, see? So we're all on the same page when it comes to that.
Right.
I think that's where it grinds our gears or whatever you want to call it. But like, yes, we want it to be special. And, you know, we want you to make sure you had that pivotal moment, that time, that which you should, that you remember that place, that you want to come back every year because you feel special, and it should feel that way. And we always try to make, and I feel like, I mean, I know I do, I'm sure he does. We always try to make people feel that way on their birthday. Not that we don't, it's not just any day, but it's more of all the theatrics on the other end don't need to be a part of it, is what I'm saying. I think we agree on.
It's more of an attitude thing, like expectations. I like to exceed expectations, but when you expect me to give you this and give you that, and then Oh, no. Everywhere does it a little bit different. And I love, whenever I get a birthday or know a birthday, even if you didn't order dessert, I mean, it's not our policy to give free dessert. We'd probably more give you free champagne. And if our owner's there, he always gives you. Like, if there's a birthday or anniversary, he'll come by with a bottle of champagne and give you a bottle of champagne. Yeah. It's the brunch champagne, but it's good. It's actually decent. It's not terrible.
Right. That's, all right.
It'll still put you to sleep on the table, but
yeah, a million of them, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's actually decent. But he'll come by and he'll pour that and, you know, and he'll leave the bottle. I mean, you can't save it, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so I always have something with we write on the plate. And I say, hey, everybody deserves a candle blowout on their birthday. But I clap back at the attitude that some people have about, you know, a birthday. Then you come in and it's like, oh, the world's going to stop. And, oh, we got to come around and sing. And you got to do this. And it's our birthday. What do we get for free and stuff like that? It's like, okay.
Yeah, the self-entitlement awards.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, we, you know, if you come in on your birthday or within a couple of days of your birthday, I get it. But if it's October 30th and then you tell me your birthday is on the 1st of October, yeah. I'm like, that shit's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, so we put everybody's name, like we put happy birthday, happy anniversary, whatever the special occasion is, on the actual menu and then the date.
Nice. Oh, that's
yeah.
Nice.
And then the date. Yeah. And it's, again, it's just one of those things that doesn't cost any money, but it really like turns heads. Mm-hmm. And it's very subtle because not everybody notices it right away. So they see it and like, holy cow. But anyways,
that makes a good impression.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and then, you know, that's something else I wanted to talk to you about too after this. But there's – so – but if I have to change the date from October 30th to just October,
yeah,
that's when the birthday celebration ends.
Yeah. You're not even, put it this way, from the 1st to the 30th, you're not even in the same sign anymore.
Okay? Right.
If you follow, like, yeah. You know, you're not even in the same sign. So it ain't your birthday. Yeah, you're out of that whole category.
Right. Your birthday has to touch that particular week end. Either if you're coming in on, you know, on Friday, it's got to be that Wednesday before or after, you know what I mean? One way or another. After that, it's like, come on now.
Right. Yes, it's over. I mean, my birthday is that day, generally working on my birthday anyways. But, you know, it's that day. Everybody says happy birthday and then it's over. You know, you answer all your text messages that you get and phone calls.
My failing as a server is that I tend to be a little too, I'm an uber practical type of person in life, and I tend to have a concentrated flat affect at work sometimes, you know, especially when I'm busy. I focus more and then I really don't have the wherewithal to just kind of, you know, because I'm aware that there's a clock that I have this amount of time for you, and then I need to get to the other thing. And then I love to, you know, shoot the crap with people, but it's a failing if I don't get this thing greeted or this thing on the table and things like that.
Absolutely.
So my failing as a server is that I really kind of, I can get a narrow focused at the expense of remembering to be at ease and smile with the guest and, you know, things like that at a particular time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's another question I want to ask you guys. Do you guys notice that, and we have certain things in place like the special occasion that we write on the menu for each guest, but the first 10 minutes or so when a guest walks through the door, it's really like a breaking down of their defense barrier for all the crappy experiences they've had in the past.
So yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like that's something that is one of our philosophies, is that we try to break down that barrier when they walk in the door through doing all the steps of service that we put in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you walk in the door, generally like me or somebody else is opening the door for you when you walk in. So immediately you have that smiling face. The restaurant looks cool inside. So you're kind of like, you know, you're kind of like, this place is in a plaza. How good is it going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, I was recommended from a friend. Then they walk in, they're like, okay, this place is pretty cool. Holding the door open, smiling face, the hostess, you know, we take great notes on every guest. So if you like a Chardonnay or from Russian River, say, we have that in your notes. You go to the table, you hear it's a 42-second spiel about the restaurant, who we are, I'm on the same philosophy as you guys about specials. Like after two, like everybody glazes over. So generally keep it really simple and short when it comes to that. And then you start getting the food and it's kind of like, so people know that something different is happening. And then they notice that there's a special occasion on the menu, you know, and then they're like, oh, okay, wow, this is really awesome. So, and all those things now have not cost 1 cent.
Sure.
Like those are free. Those are just, those are, that's from somebody that cares. That's from a whole group of people in the restaurant that care as a team. And when you have that kind of a culture set and it works, it's really powerful. You know, you get up to go to the bathroom, you have eight people that say hello to you on the way to the bathroom and eight people that say hello to you on the way back. And you're, you come back and your setting is organized and we don't have tablecloths because, you know, I wanted to make this place like the casual experience. Mm-hmm. Like I don't wear a tie. I wear a jeans and a sport coat. And I'm like, okay, never wearing a tie again, ever. Like those are gone. Suit pants, gone. See you later. So yeah, so your napkin's folded for you. And then on your way out the door, you know, five or six people are saying goodbye to you and your server is holding the door open for you on the way out. And that is just a final, like, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. Have a great time. You know, glad you came in and see you later. And now, you know, I want them to feel like they've been kicked in the head on the way out. Like, holy shit, this is really something different. Yeah, man. Because the problem is like, you've had all the experiences. We're in the business. Like, there's, you know.
I've never had that. And I like that. That's kind of solid.
Yeah, and it's, and again, it doesn't cost 1 cent. It's just you have a group of people that care enough. Like if I'm the one holding the door for your guest, the only thing I'm thinking about after I say goodbye to the guest is where are you? Mm-hmm. And if you're not putting in an order, then you know you see like the shame on the server's face of like I should have been at the door. Okay. Or I look at them and if they have time to run, like they're sprinting to the door, you know, and it's just like that sense of urgency that comes up because that is an important step of what we do. Seeing them on the way out, it's kind of like my philosophy on if you have an issue with a guest, that should have been taken care of at the table. The last thing you do is shouldn't be an apology on the way out the door.
No.
Because that is not the last thing that you want them to remember as they're leaving the restaurant.
True.
So, you know, it's all these like little details in place that it's not, it, we're not reinventing the wheel, but we care enough to do them every day. And for the last 9 years, that's kind of what we've been doing as a restaurant. So, and you have that, I don't have to be there. Like I'm not there. This is the longest vacation I've ever taken. You know, I'll be gone for 8 days, but I don't worry about it because I have people in place that are doing these things, you know, while I'm gone. So it's, yeah, it's just the relentless effort to make sure, you know, you talked about competition and what kind of makes you different. And, you know, to me at this point, maybe pre-COVID, It wasn't about competition. It's about options. I mean, in Atlanta, we had 600 restaurants opening a year before this happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know that we're good at what we do, but even if there's five other restaurants that open within 4 miles of us, our guests, even though we know that we're better, they're going to go try those restaurants out. And even if they come back and say, you know what, we're so glad we're back. You know, you guys are awesome and these places suck. We still lost you for five visits. Mm-hmm. So those five visits hurt. So now we got to like expand our, you know, our zone of where we're going to capture people from. Yeah. So competition. Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's more about just the options. Like there's
like, kind of like market share.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. And to me, I've always been under the philosophy that you have to deserve the business. Like, you know, South Florida is kind of, it has been like a desert for restaurants for a long time. And I feel like sometimes when you get closer to the water, not all the times, but sometimes restaurants don't try because they know you're coming. They know you're close to the water. They know you're going to have a view of the water and you're a tourist and, you know, you're going to have a crab cake with a mango salsa and you're going to have a grouper sandwich with a mango salsa.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy, by the way, because I've heard good things about it. And then listening to you talk about it, I'm like, I'm never going there, ever.
No, well, I admit that it's one man's experience, you know, but it
sounded like valid a shit show.
I think it's valid for me to talk about my experience. You know
absolutely
what I mean? I'm not saying that that's what everyone will find, but I have high expectations when I want to say, but scratch that. I expected good food, good service, and I went to a lot of places. You know, that's all you do on vacation. You know, you go to a lot of different places. You just, let's try here. I'm not going to hold up in one spot, you know, grab a couple of drinks and food and then.
But on the lighter side, he did
acknowledge the places that he did, that he had a really good experience as well.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I just didn't know all their names because that's not really why I took vacation. Exactly. You know, to review places.
It just seemed like you were misled in a lot of places, which you shouldn't have to lower your expectations, you know, ever, and just be like, yeah, you know what, it was okay, so I'll just settle for that now. You're still paying the same money, whether it's okay or great, so that's the problem.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, the story about the, you order gin, it's on the menu, but they don't have gin. It's like some wine-infused gin. Like, that's not good practice.
It's not good practice.
That's just dropping the ball. Yeah,
so, totally. Exactly, or just not caring, you know, or misleading somebody because they don't have a full bar, they don't want to pay for a liquor license, but they still want to put that name on the menu to get you to buy it, even though it's not what they said it was.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's like... That small little detail there tells me that, like, the manager or the owner doesn't care about you as the guest, so why should you give them your money?
True.
You know? So, and that's like a culture thing. Now you have the server with the spiel down to tell you about the gin and why it is. So now it's like, now you have this culture of lying all from this one cocktail. So when you look at that, you're like, they're lying about the cocktail. What else are they lying about?
True.
You know? And then it's just, and then you just don't want to go there. True. You know? So it's not right.
It's very poignant that you mentioned the things that don't cost any extra money that make that big difference in the guest's experience. You know, you guys print up the menu on the birthday with their name and the birthday, happy birthday, and things like that. The details, when you mentioned those experiences, you talked about breaking down the experiences that people have had at other restaurants. It's very, I don't think some things you have to talk about, but actually just doing those things breaks those barriers down.
Right.
So I've had people that, you know, yesterday for brunch, this lady, you know, we serve crab legs and stuff like that. It's a part of the whole deal. And she was going to order something else. I brought her some hot towels. And then she's like, well, I'm not done. And I said, I know you just had crab and I'm getting you some hot towels, you know?
Right.
And then her husband said, oh, she's just used to, she's used to like a Chinese restaurant that has like a buffet or something like that. And they're bringing the fortune cookie and telling her that she's done, you know?
Right.
And so.
How big was this woman?
She was large. I didn't want to mention
that. She's not on the hummus diet.
Yeah. Yeah. So. When they start yelling at you to leave the all-you-can-eat buffet.
She didn't really even eat that much, but.
She's used to it. Used to being told to leave.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, well, I'm not done. I said, this is not the end.
You take all the time you need.
Yeah, crap.
I'm just like, having you wash your hands.
And then I made a joke. I said, I don't want the fork to slip out of your hands. Okay, so.
Right. Under your mask with your eyes not changing whatsoever. In the same straight face.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was in rare form yesterday. I had a lady that she ordered a lychee martini, and she said she wanted it with vodka. And I was like, okay. She's like, and make it strong. Okay.
It's a martini.
Stop. Okay. So I just walk. Yeah, exactly. Deep breaths. And I bring her the martini. And then she goes, where's the lychee? And I said, it's in there, you know? And she goes, oh, you don't have a pick so I could dig it out? And I said, actually, you have to earn it.
God.
Once you drink the martini, you get the lychee. And she looked at me and I said, well, you know.
It tastes better that way.
I said,
yeah, it's been soaking longer.
Figure you open a box of Cracker Jack. You don't get the prize right away. You got to eat the Cracker Jack first and then you get the prize.
God. And you got away with it.
No, I have a baseline with it already. So I'm not that way off the bat, but just having that rapport with your guest, you know.
Yeah.
It was the same lady that asked me to pour the thing to the brim, you know. So.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Guests carry luggage just like people carry luggage in life, you know. But it's okay because we like setting the expectation. We like having them have low expectations when they come in maybe or normal expectations. And then our philosophy is exceeding the expectations. You know, we're not a fine dining restaurant. We don't promise to be, but you're going to feel like you're in a fine dining restaurant, but it's casual.
Yeah.
So, and I like that because, you know, out of the restaurant Drift, when you walk in, it's like very grandioso and it's cost three times as much to build it. And it looks like a really expensive place. Mm-hmm. So that was always the battle. When you walk in there, you're like, wow, this is expensive. Mm-hmm. And it is more expensive because it's seafood. Mm-hmm. So people's expectations were really high coming in. So we always had to, it's always meeting those expectations. It's easier to exceed it when you come in with kind of like a flat line base of like, okay, this place looks good, but how good is it going to be? And then we blow you away.
Yeah.
You know, so, and we don't, you know, we don't do it right 100% of the time, but when we don't do it right, that's where we excel because we always do the right thing. And it's always, we don't buy people off with dessert. Mm. You know, a good example is, and this kind of stuff happens once in a while. It's not really in our restaurant that often, but this guy with his wife brought in his daughter who was like 15 years old and all her girlfriends for her birthday. One of the girlfriend's friends had pancakes at a Sunday brunch. And in the batter was the plastic ring from the buttermilk that we use. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, she cut into it. She didn't put it in her mouth. She didn't bite it. Obviously, it was big. You know, the guy was upset about it. And I pulled him aside from the table and just kind of explained him what was going on. And I'm like, well, thank God she didn't swallow because he was like overly upset about it. He's like, you know, what am I going to tell her parents and blah, blah, blah. So he's like, are you going to do anything for the check? I was like, well, what... If I do something, it was her, first of all, it was for her, and I already took it off, and we gave you one to go, and we gave you one to go. Like, there's no questions about taking something off. You don't like it, I don't care if the plate is clean. It's like one out of 1,000 people that actually try to pull that off, and I'm like, I don't care. Just take it off the check. But we gave you one to go, took the other one off. I was like, so if I take something else off the check, is that going to stop her from going to tell her parents that she had a terrible experience at Seed? And he's like, good point. I was like, but here's a $50 gift card. I want you to give this to her parents to come back in and bring her in. And then you guys can have a great experience and not have to worry, obviously, about any of this again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just like, it's thinking ahead, you know, and that's not, I don't feel like I'm the only person that could think of something like that. You just have to be in the mindset of what are you going to do and then add one to it. It's always a plus one.
Yeah.
Like, what is that extra? That $50 gift card is going to save this family of four because they have another kid at home. That's going to come in, you know, and when they spend the $50, they're going to spend more than 50.
Absolutely.
So, but it's just doing something, you know, and obviously you don't want to have situations happen like that all the time, you know, because he was, you know, I love the comments of, you know, who do I call to make sure that this doesn't get swept under the rug? That's one of the things he said to me. I was like, well, yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, you're talking to the guy. I was like, first of all, I'm not going to sit there and explain to you at the table with a party of eight what we're going to do and what we've already done. But now that you're away from the table, I'll explain to you that we've already had a 10-minute conversation with the pastry chef and back. We've sat down with the executive chef. We went through all of the rest of them. We poured out through a china cap all the rest of the batter to make sure that there's nothing else in there. So we've already done 30 minutes of work just on this one incident happening at your table. So that's who we are, and that's what we do. And here's the $50 gift card for her family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then he – at that point, he couldn't say anything. It's like when you have an issue at your table, I have to know every single thing that's going on before I walk up. Like my biggest fear is getting blindsided by anything. Mm-hmm. Like I want to have an answer. So if there's an issue at the table, no matter how small, the servers always know to come tell us. And then I decide at that point whether is it worth me going up? Because usually if a manager walks up, now it's escalated automatically. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it to go up or can the server just handle it themselves? So I always come with a game plan. You know, if I come to the table and already tell you that your whole dinner tonight's on us, as I walk up and you're about to tell me like, oh, hey, and I say, you know what, dinner's on us. And you're like, oh, like you don't know what to say because as a guest, because we already took care of it. And that's the goal. Like we don't have to go through the, you know, like calling Xfinity or Comcast and talking to eight people with the same problem, you know, like this isn't the, what are the, TSP reports from Office Space. TPS reports. Yeah. Like I walk up, it's over. We took care of it. Your dinner's over. And then on top of that, we're going to bring out a whole bunch of desserts for the table and you're going to forget about that this ever happened. So, you know, and it's just having a game plan. And again, it all comes down to the teamwork thing. It's one goal to make sure that the guests are happy.
Absolutely.
You know, we have it's called a core purpose, which is something that we set up for the company. It's, you know, it took us 7 years to figure out what it is, but, A lot of places, you know, like they'll open, then they'll have all their core values and core purpose set, and they'll just get it like from some other company off the internet and download it. I mean, it took us 7 years to figure out what they were, and then they're still changing. But anyways, our core purpose is to simply, the purpose of why we're in existence is to help people escape from their busy lives. Boom. That's it. And it's super simple. And when you think about it, I mean, when you think about it, simply, it makes it easier to work on a day-to-day basis, because everything goes back to that. Like, what can we do to make these people forget about their busy lives when they walk in the door? Like, all the stuff that's happened before they walked in, because you don't know. Like, you know, and that it gets into like judging people and how we don't do that, because you have no idea what somebody's been through that day, that month, that year, what they can handle. Yeah. So when they come in, don't add to it. You know, we don't talk about politics in the dining room. We don't talk about COVID-19 in the dining room. We don't add to those conversations, because we're here to have you forget about all that. So that's kind of always been our thing. But plus, who wants to talk about that stuff in the dining room anyways?
Yeah. It's I don't talk about that stuff at all.
Right.
It's
depressing.
Right. That, yeah. Well, that too. Exactly. For sure.
Yeah,
I like to laugh. It's too much. I like to keep people happy.
I haven't noticed. I've been listening to that laugh for 104 episodes, man. It's so awesome to be here. And then his, and then yours, and then his, and then you guys go back and forth.
Yeah, I worry that we laugh too much, but it's like, you know what? Like, you know, we do have fun doing this. You know,
no, man, it's happy. Kind of weird. No, I've said this before, before we started this, but you guys do a great job, man. It was really cool on your, I think it was your 100th episode, or was that your 100th?
Yeah, with the voicemails?
Yeah, where people were calling in. It was a little ballsy to not listen to the voicemails beforehand and just let them roll. But I thought that was a really cool aspect of the show. People calling from all over the country, congratulating you guys. You do. I mean, you hit home. I think all the technical stuff that you guys have worked out in the beginning are gone, and now you're like, every episode you can tell you're really improving on the show. And you bring content to people that's relatable, and that's, like, as far as comedy goes, for me, like, I listen to comedians, and I love comedians that are relatable and tell relatable stories. So, and there's a gigantic industry of hospitality professionals that, yeah, I mean, they need somewhere to, like, listen to these stories, and they're not the only ones, and you know, you get it. You can get into some, you know, like some easy topics, and then you can get into some heavier topics and what people are going through during COVID-19 and blah blah blah. But in the end, you're bringing these feelings to people, and it's I think it's really cool to watch your evolution.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's we're not. We always say, you know, we're not perfect. We're not even perfect servers or even podcasters, but that's the point. You know, we're letting you in on our evolution, how we think, what this show is, us learning constantly. You know, there's always some way to learn. I learn from people all the time. I listen to my coworkers. I love where I work, and I listen. I was like, oh, I like that phrase. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to use that for myself, or I like what he's doing there. I like that thing, you know. And we do go above and beyond in a lot of ways. And I have learned to step my game up. I'm one of the youngest. I'm going to be there almost 2 years now. And I'm one of the people that has been there, you know.
Yeah.
Youngest as far as years in.
Yeah. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. I have people that are there for many, 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 many years. Yeah. And that's, you know, that makes me feel good that I'm a part of something, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's different. You know, yeah. I've heard you talk about it, and I heard you talk about it, just, you know, how happy you are to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cool to walk into something that might be something better than what you had, maybe, you know, for your personal reasons. It's just, you know, you left for a reason, and you're happy where you are, and that's it. That's kind of the evolution.
Yeah. And it's just a fit. It's a good fit, but that's it, an evolution. I didn't leave because I was so mad and unhappy and disgruntled. That's not necessarily why everyone leaves something. Sometimes you just feel like it's time because you've done, you know, it's like a car. You know, you've experienced this car. You want to get a different one.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so, yeah. I'm telling you. It's a cool business. I really do enjoy this business. The people are, even the people who used to be in it, And then they contact me. They're like, oh, man, you give me the feels. I remember, you know, I remember what it's like.
This business will suck you back in any chance it can get.
Yeah, I think once you're out, you can't get back in.
Well, I don't think you should get back in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. However. I misspoke. Yeah, I don't think you
gotta rephrase that one.
Yeah, rephrasing it. I don't think you should get back in.
No, you got, it's kind of like a relationship. You got out the first time for a reason. Don't go back.
Yeah.
Perfect. Know? Yeah. So. All the things you forgot are going to still be there.
Yeah.
They're still there.
Yeah. I know you remember about those happy times, but that's not the reason why you left.
Yeah. Exactly. You could be counting that cash, but you remember, you're not going to get that day off. You ain't going to get that Christmas. You're going to be working it. Somebody said something about Thanksgiving. I was like, oh, yeah. I got to work.
Yeah, we close for all major holidays.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we close
that's
for
really good.
Even Labor Day and Memorial Day.
Yeah.
All those holidays. We were just tired of working them all those years, and we're like, you're not going to have a company that's open on those days. I know we can make a lot of money during it, but it's not worth it, man.
It's worth the state, like you said, the peace of mind of it. And, you know, you do what you do, and you love it, and you love it for a reason.
Yeah, and nobody really wants to be there on those days.
Yeah, no.
You know, the servers, they don't want to be there.
I don't mind it. I have, but that's because it fits my personality. I don't really care that much about Christmas unless it's for kids.
Yeah,
you know.
No, and I understand that philosophy too. I guess I'm old school. Like I like the day. I guess.
Yeah, I'm the same
way. I don't need gifts, but I like getting people together.
Yeah,
I
mean, you get together and you watch the kids, or you watch the joy and the happiness of somebody else opening that gift that you got them, or something like that. And it's just the experience of being around people that you like, being around with people you love.
Yeah, that's why this year is going to be. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, I mean, gatherings for Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're going to change. They're going to get small.
Yeah.
Or maybe they won't. I don't know. But we'll see. But
we'll see is right. I don't know what it's going to be like.
I think like the restaurant industry, if you were open on Thanksgiving, I think this is the time to be open. I think you'll kill it on this day because people aren't going to want to cook for four or five people. They'll just come out and be like, we're going to a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, for real, I really think so.
It makes perfect sense, actually. I mean, why have all those leftovers? You don't have 10, 15 people going to have. Like you said, your core family.
There
your core
are group. No small turkeys.
Exactly. No.
Them turkeys are huge.
So where's your restaurant at in Atlanta? How can they get to it?
Yeah, we're in Marietta, Georgia. It's kind of a sub-community called East Cobb.
Okay.
But we're about maybe 30 minutes north of the city.
Gotcha.
On a kind of heavy traffic day. Mm-hmm. Maybe more like 20 minutes. It's a great suburb. And all the restaurants are within a quarter of a mile of each
awesome.
Other.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So the next time you guys are in the A.
Visit.
Yes.
Seed. Stem.
Stem.
Stem Wine Bar and
Drift.
There it is.
Bar. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Well, let's get out of here. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We do this for you each and every week. If you like our show, pass it on to a friend. That's the way that you can help us out at this time. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Davila. Subscribe, 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 people.
And we'll see you next time. How many rounds does it take to get to the rhythm? Now that make them shake on the bait, the fact you're feeling them. Beats rock, you're not. Anywhere we go, we rip in the spot with a little bit of hip hop. My intellect gains respect with my dialect. With infinite wordplay in these thoughts that be complex. This evidence and street sense got a sixth sense not common. All I see is dead people sit those and busted noggins. Keep heads bobbing like bitches not in bobbing. Now let's get deeper with my shit that seems to be your biggest problem. I solve them. Didn't watch it wax out diminished. Rise being hit hard like niggas at the line of scrimmage. You finished. Gun and killed on impact. I got a mind like a trigger and a tongue like a steel bat.